Reporting from Toronto, Ontario, this is Mia Johnson, your community journalist with Met Radio CJTM 1280 AM. 20 candidates are vying to fill the vacant council seat left behind by the councillor who went federal last spring. Scarborough Rouge Park needs a new councillor to call the shots, to speak up on Scarborough's behalf. But with just over a week now until Election Day, most constituents don't know a by-election is even going on. Or at least some of them don't. That's what Amina told us, who gave us only her first name, when she walked into our studio, asking her community to start paying attention.
We really have to be the change. We often make a lot of complaints about what's going on in our city, in our neighborhood, and a lot of people aren't aware of their vote and how it could impact City Hall. So this specific seat, I think, has been empty for a bit. And not a lot of people around me are even aware of the by-election. There's some people who do know, especially now in the last 2 weeks because of the campaigns, and then you're seeing the signs go up. But a lot of people still don't know who those candidates are. Some people aren't even aware of the riding, the ward that they live in.
We first heard from Amina over email. We had put out a call out on Reddit. Email us if you have thoughts on September's by-election. We posted it under a thread that had already gone out on Scarborough Community subreddit. Someone was asking for more information about the candidates, and people had commented saying they were disappointed with the candidate selection. Some went as far as saying there were candidates running who they felt weren't qualified, and that candidates who didn't live in the ward shouldn't be considered. Ward 25 or Scarborough Rouge Park is made up of five neighborhoods. There's Centennial, Highland Creek, Malvern, Morningside Heights, West Rouge, and Port Union. Ward 25 is a growing suburban community that's made up of homeowners, families, and immigrants. It's a community that's been left out of the conversation, that's been underfunded, that isn't getting its fair share of resources. This is what our stations uncovered while doing reporting leading up to this by-election. Amina says because the ward's been dismissed, it's more reason for why people should be focusing on this by-election. Here's more of our conversation.
We need to be very careful about who we vote, what their interests are, how they're going to serve us. Are they going to fight for us? Because for many years, many, many years, Scarborough's always been forgotten. And it's important that we take the time to know these candidates and make sure that we vote for the person who's going to represent us properly.
When Amina reached out to us wanting to talk, there were a few things on her mind. The by-election hadn't gotten a lot of media attention. Candidates were unreachable for the most part. Some candidates on the City of Toronto list didn't have their contacts available. They didn't have an email, a phone number, or any social media. So she really didn't know anything about them. And there was no way of contacting them unless they came up to her door.
A concern of mine was that a lot of people are seeing these signs up, but they don't really know the candidates. They're just agreeing for these signs to go up in their front yard.
Of course.
Because I was visiting a friend and I saw a specific, you know, candidate sign. And I said, hey, tell me more about this candidate. And she was telling me, oh, they just came over and asked and we just let them. And
it left us wondering how often municipal politics get brushed aside, regardless of how engaged in political discussions people are in their personal life. Yeah, how did you get involved with local democracy? Do you consider yourself as someone who's like a political junkie that's following elections? Where do you place yourself?
I'm not super political where I guess I would say for me, I'm just somebody who likes to be aware of things and do my own research. Mm. I'm not necessarily somebody who's having political debates and conversations. I do with my family and like close friends, just, you know, things surface level sometimes, maybe asking their input. But I definitely don't consider myself somebody who's super into politics, talking about it all the time. But I am somebody who's aware. I do read the news. I try to be informed as much as I can. And I think there's like a basic duty for people who especially can vote to just know what's going on. And I know for the provincial and the federal level, I know my representatives, the MPs, but I'd never really, I don't think I've ever contacted the city ones.
We already know voter turnout is low for municipal elections. Approximately 36% of constituents voted in the 2022 citywide municipal election. That's just a little over a quarter. The Association of Municipalities in Ontario, who are driving civic discourse, say declining voter trends are due to an increasingly polarizing political environment. Political disengagement is rising, and incivility in public discourse is rife. While economic pressures, misinformation, and disappearing local media erode trust in our local democratic systems. So, why should people care? That's what we asked our candidates. We are going to hear from the last three candidates Met Radio interviewed. We did reach out to all candidates in the running who had their contacts available, and eight got back to us for an interview. Let's get into it.
Municipal elections, in my opinion, are the most important because it affects the things that really affect you. Like your municipality looks over property taxes, housing, Toronto Hydro, Toronto Water, waste collection. Our dollars go towards construction permits, zoning issues, police, fire.
Donna LaRouche is a candidate for Ward 25. She lives outside of the ward in Scarborough Agent Court, or Ward 22. She's lived there since November of 89. She retired in February, but she says she's always wanted to be in the political arena.
I don't want to sit in the coffee shop and say how broken everything is and not do anything. I want to be part of the solution. And I have been part of the solution in a lot of ways. And I'm just not ready to retire.
LaRouche served as a firefighter for over 30 years. In fact, she was the first female firefighter hired by the City of York before amalgamation.
People should care about their municipal elections, right? You know, because like I said, you care about the police and the fire. It defines our community safety.
We interviewed her at the end of August. She was the first candidate to get back to us for an interview.
It's important that every person knows what's going on in their municipality and how their municipality is being run. There's a lot of systematic problems in our system. And I believe that these systematic problems should be addressed in education, in housing, in equity. Our system is broken and there's ways for improvement. But not many people want to actually get up there and do something. And I do.
LaRouche is an advocate for shelter spaces and supports council's push to build more affordable housing. She wants to invest in programs for seniors. The ward has a higher concentration of senior citizens than the city's average. But she says while there's lots to do, she thinks people have voter fatigue right now. Do you think people know that this election is happening?
No.
No.
That's a short answer. I've been talking to so many people, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't know. People are burnt out from elections. I mean, we had
two huge elections, provincial and federal. They're like another one.
I know. I've gone up to people and I've given them my card and I'm saying, you know, I'm a candidate in the next election. They don't know about it. And you know what? I honestly think people want to get through the summer.
Don't we all?
It's summer mode, right? It's
yeah.
Summer mode, and they really honestly don't want to hear about an election.
When we asked Dr. Anoush Riskinaraja the same question, whether people knew the by-election was happening or not, she told us no, too.
Because we've now had how many elections, right? This is now going to be the second by-election for this ward. So four elections, I think, in the last term, because we've had the provincial and the federal. And just general voter apathy throughout society, right? Voter turnout is pretty low.
Sriskinaraja is a candidate in the September by-election. She is also one of three Toronto District School Board trustees in the race. And she's the trustee for the local area, for Scarborough Rouge Park. So much of her campaign is built on prior experience. She says there's constant overlap in a lot of the work she does at the board with the city.
Yeah, you know, I was the trustee, like I said, for the last 7 years. And through that experience, I worked with so many communities and families and really learned a lot about the needs that people had in the community. And I felt that I had the experience necessary to serve those folks that I've been working with on a sort of wider scale. And I thought that would be a great way for me to serve the community.
She also works as a professor in York University's humanities department with an expertise in children and youth. At the school board, she led an initiative to get more French immersion programs into Scarborough.
And there's just countless examples of how we are underserved, whether it's our low-income dental clinics, where they're placed in the city, whether it's sort of spots for children and seniors at our community centers, just community centers in general. We don't have as many facilities as perhaps some other parts. I think there's a lot of room for improvement.
Sriskin Raja also recently supported a controversial fundraising policy that the majority of TDSB trustees voted to reject in April. The proposal would have funneled a portion of fundraising dollars raised by parent councils to a central equity fund that would then go to kids in low-income areas. It was a push for more equitable opportunities for students across the board.
What do you think the role of local democracy is today?
Yeah, I mean, I think lo like local democracy is the most important in terms of how it impacts people's everyday lives, and I think sometimes it's the most often forgotten, right? It doesn't get as much coverage as federal elections and provincial ex elections. It's not ex as exciting, and it's not as the bells and whistles, and it's not party based, so you don't have the war of the parties and that sort of kind of theatrics. And so it's not as exciting to cover. And then, that often leads to perhaps part of the reason why there isn't as much enthusiasm. But I always say it's the most important in terms of our everyday lives. It is the roads we drive on. It are the things that we take granted, right? It's the roads we drive on. It's the water that we drink. It's the traffic that we have to sit in to get to places. It's the rules that govern how to be good neighbors, right? Our bylaws. So these are sort of the everyday things that impacts our quality of life that we kind of take for granted. Because when a system is sort of working well, you don't think about it. But when it doesn't work well, like this year, for example, was obviously the snow removal. There was a lot of issues with that. And I think that's when people think, oh, okay, why is this happening? Right? And so I think, in terms of the importance, it's really important that we engage locally.
City Council voted unanimously to hold a by-election last spring for Ward 25. Council had the option to appoint a temporary replacement since the next municipal election is just around the corner in October, but they opted for a by-election instead. Mayor Olivia Chow said she felt it was important for residents to decide who represents them at City Hall and that it shouldn't be up to the councillors. We asked Anu's Sriskin Raja whether she felt this was necessary, given how short the term would be.
I feel it is very expensive in the sense that we're going to have an election again just around the corner because nominations will open in May, I believe, for the 2026 election. So in that sense, I agree with those who feel that we don't really need this election. And then I also hear the voices of people who think that there are a lot of important decisions that are going to be made. I would probably lean towards not having it as we're going to be having one just in a few months.
The city is spending over $500,000 to host this by-election, but candidate and community organizer Reza Koshtel had a different take.
The other option was an appointment. And I think that is incredibly undemocratic. And it's also rife for and potential for a lot of, backroom deals, manipulation, things that are undemocratic in nature. Anytime that you have the opportunity to have a new person at the table, I think it's really, really important for voters to make that decision wisely.
One of the journalists at our station, Kinza Safar, interviewed Reza Koshtel at the beginning of September. Koshtel told her another part of this conversation is the incumbency factor.
The incumbency factor is so, so strong, as I mentioned, at the municipal level. That's why it's important, because you vote for the wrong person in, that person's sitting in that chair comfortably for the next 10, 15, 20 years, not doing anything for you, right? So I think, you know, if we as voters put a little bit of effort in, we can get a lot back in the long term.
An incumbent is someone who is currently in office. Since Jennifer McKelvey stepped down, leaving the seat vacant, there is no incumbent running in this race, which some would argue makes things a whole lot easier for these candidates. Past history shows that city council incumbents have a high chance of success when it comes to seeking re-election. About 90% of the time, an incumbent candidate for mayor or a council seat wins. And that's even for cases where an incumbent is under investigation or there's a scandal. They often still win. This is usually because it's a name that voters know, and municipal elections, we know, already don't get a lot of attention. Often they attract campaign funding because they have a dependable voting record. Mayor Olivia Chow, our mayor right now in Toronto, is a good example of this. That election happened without a incumbent really opening up the playing fields for anyone to step in. Prior to that, former mayor John Tory had already been in power for 9 years. So this is definitely something on candidates' minds this time around.
It's just insane when you look at it. I mean, like you mentioned, it's very low turnout, generally speaking. Hmm. And then when you look at a by-election, it could very well be that 10% of our ward is just over 100,000 people. 10% of this ward could decide who the next city councilor could be. And I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. And at the end of the day, who suffers? It's the constituents who suffer. It's truly a failure of democracy, I think.
Investing in community is really at the forefront of this candidate's platform. Reza Kushtal is the executive director of the nonprofit Community Center 55 in East York. The center runs about 40 to 50 different programs for youth and seniors. He says they're getting about a third of what other folks in Toronto get. Well, Scarborough has about 3 times the physical footprint.
The power of community to come together and change the lives of the most marginalized people is a very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. I believe in the nobility of public service and that government could be a force of good in people's lives if it's run by well-intentioned people. And I think that's where political apathy has really significantly increased over the last few years. Mm-hmm. People mistrust their politicians. I think it's because that connection is no longer there. So my goal is to, you know, improve that relationship.
Should he be elected, he wants to run regular town halls, whether that's quarterly or semi-annually. He's also committing to getting back to constituents' complaints within 24 hours.
I think city council, municipal politics is refreshing in the sense that we're not bound by political parties. We're not bound by political ideology. We could theoretically, and I say that theoretically because obviously, you know, the political ideology and parties do embed themselves in municipal politics. But theoretically, we can step away from that and make decisions based on the best interests of constituents, not on what my political leaning says I should do. Our leaders, our elected officials can get nothing done, absolutely nothing done, because they are so far apart, right? And they refuse to even accept the other side as legitimate. And when you can't even, you know, get to that basis, how can you compromise on anything? And at the end of the day, you know, governing at any elected body, any elected official, it's about compromising with people who may not share the same ideas that you have, may not have the same morals even, right? Mm. But you have to do it. And I think that's what's so important about municipal politics. It gives us the opportunity to do that. And that's what I will bring to the residents of Scarborough Rouge Park, is decision making that is based on evidence, that is based on data, that is based on the best interests of my constituents, not my own political goals, and not on any part of political ideology and anything like that. Because the worst thing we've seen over and over and over again is where good policy takes a backseat to bad politics. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to do that as an elected official.
By-election day is September 29th. Advance voting happens this weekend. There will be 2 days of advance voting on September 20th and 21st. The replacement will only be in office for about 1 year before Torontonians head to the polls again for the next municipal election. That's scheduled for next fall, in October 2026. Met Radio reached out to all candidates who made their contacts available. Out of the 20 candidates running, 8 of them got back to us for an interview. This is Mia Johnson reporting, your community journalist at Met Radio CJTM 1280 AM in Toronto, Ontario. Additional reporting and fact-checking for this episode was done by Kinza Safar. Our music is produced by Robert Johnston. This episode wouldn't have been possible without the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative.